Well, hello everybody and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And today we continue in this great study series through the book of Ephesians, and we're delighted that you've joined us. Today it's session 12, and if you need to catch up, review any of the sessions at all, well, I'll detail how to do that in just a few minutes. But right now we're ready to get into today's exciting study, and to do that, here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Today's study is, I've titled it Relationships, and it's all about the relationships that we have one to another in marriage, in families, and then in other relationships as well. And this is some very practical application of the grace of God. And that's what we need to understand. Whenever Paul talks about relationships, it's never outside of the grace of God, what's been given to us in Jesus Christ. So we have to understand that. So many people will lift these sections out of the book of Ephesians and just stand them on their own. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't make sense then. Why? Because it's not attached to the grace of God. It's not attached to this command to be filled with the Spirit, which means to be filled and controlled by the very love of God. So if it's not attached, if it's not anchored in that fertile soil of God's grace, these can become very legalistic, can become very frustrating commands as far as the Word of God is concerned. So we have to step back just briefly, and then we're going to dive right into these relationships. So last week, we looked at what it means to be filled with the Spirit, and that's in verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 5, and it says this, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." So this is the foundation for every relationship that we're to have as human beings, the command to be filled with the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? Well, as we talked about last week, being filled with the Spirit is being filled with an understanding of the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God, and to have an experience of that love, not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge of the love of God. So that love is to control us. In every single relationship we have, love is to control us. That is the motivation. So often we're motivated by fear. We're not going to say something because we're afraid of the outcome. And we've projected what that outcome might be. Now, we have no earthly idea, but fear keeps us from engaging. Mm-hmm. Retools how we're going to handle a situation. So fear is not a good thing. Fear is not a good motivator, but that's what we see out there in the world. Well, we've died to that old way of life. We've died to fear being the controlling factor in our relationships, and we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. What is that newness of life? Faith in Jesus Christ. We're responding to the love of God. We love because he first loved us. So that love constrains, that love compels, that love becomes the motivating factor in all of our relationships. So we're to be filled with the Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit looks a lot like this. In verse 21, it says we're to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So being filled with the Spirit really looks a lot like submission one to another. So every relationship is anchored right there. That's the foundation, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. And it's so counterintuitive, unless, of course, you're anchored in the foundation of the love of God and the indwelling Holy Spirit. And then you realize that that's exactly how Jesus lived his life. He was constantly in perfect submission to the Father.
Yes.
And look at what he accomplished. He didn't have to step up and say, I've got this. All he had to do was follow. And he was led to the greatest victory that you could ever possibly imagine. There's no victory like it in the history of ever. It's eternal in its value.
Right. So relationships out there in the world, we try to enter into those relationships in order to get something out of it mm-hmm. for us. So we want to raise our status. We want to lift ourselves up. We want to make our name greater out there in the world. So we're trying to make something of ourselves through these relationships. And you go to a party or go to a social function, and, you know, a lot of the conversation is, do you know this person? And you're trying to see if you have a greater network of people than the other guy. And so you can feel better about yourself. Well, in Christ, you have a pretty good identity. You have a pretty good name for yourself already. Yeah. It's child of God. Mm-hmm. You've been adopted into the family of God. You know God. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So you don't have to try to make something out of yourself. God has already made something out of you by his very grace. So that frees you, and that's the key word. Your identity in Christ frees you to serve others in love. It frees you to be submissive one to another. So the foundation of this is being filled with the Spirit, being controlled by the love of God, which is going to lead to a humility, which produces a submissiveness in you one to another.
Yeah. Well, it is Basic Gospel, friends, and we're glad you're with us for Session 12 of this Friday study series based on the book of Ephesians. As I mentioned earlier, if you miss any of the sessions along the way, you can do a catch-up anytime at our teaching archive. It's basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, basicgospel.net/teaching. Also, Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry. You know, your gifts help us continue on the air and online every weekday, proclaiming the truth of the good news, the new covenant in Jesus Christ. And your gift this month will help us continue to reach out. Just click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift, and we have something special for you as our way of saying thank you for your love of the message that you hear on Basic Gospel. Again, you can donate today at basicgospel.net. Now back to our study, and again, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. So let's dive in. We're going to talk about husbands and wives, wives and husbands, and this particular section, verses 22 all the way down to the end of chapter 5, has been taught and discussed and debated, and there's all kinds of different views of this, but it's really a powerful passage in talking about marriage as it relates to the gospel and as it relates to Christ's love for the church. And that's where we want to start in this particular section. In verse 32, Paul says this, that this mystery is profound. And he's talking about the fact that man leaves his father and mother and holds fast to his wife, and the two shall become one. So he says, this mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. So that's the mystery. So marriage reflects, a marriage between a Christian man and a Christian woman reflects Christ's love for the church. And there is a union that takes place between Christ and the church. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. So we have become one. That's why Paul said in an earlier chapter that we should maintain the unity. We don't have to try to create unity. We simply maintain the unity. Why? Because there's a oneness that God has created. Well, that oneness God has created in marriage. The two become one flesh. So that is the reality of marriage. And so when we're filled with the Spirit, as children of God, as husbands and wives, here's what submitting one to another looks like within that union called marriage, the marriage between one man and one woman. Well, as far as wives are concerned, it's going to look a lot like submitting to your husband. Now, you don't have to. This is what God is saying for you to do. This is what he is going to be working in and through you so that this marriage can truly reflect the very love of Jesus Christ for the church of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So, wives, as you recognize this eternal purpose or this grand design of marriage, and you are being filled with the Spirit, and you're being submissive one to another, then that's going to look like submission to your husband. And so he says, both in verse 22 and all the way down in verse 33, wives, submit to your husbands, or wives, respect your husband in all things. So that's what this love looks like. Yeah. That's what being controlled by the Spirit looks like in marriage as far as the wife is concerned. Now, husbands, it's not your job to try to make sure your wife is carrying that out. Why? Because God has something for you. So for you, when you are being filled with the Spirit and being submissive one to another out of reverence to Christ, it's going to look a lot like you loving your wife as Christ loved the church. That's what it looks like. Now, you don't have to do that, and wives, it's not your job to get them to do that. This is each of you individually, depending upon the Lord Jesus, being controlled by His Spirit, and choosing to live out these particular aspects of love within the marriage framework. What is that going to do? It's going to show your union as husband and wife, and it's going to reflect the union of Christ with His church out there in the world. And it's a powerful, powerful picture, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah. When you look at a positive marriage and what it says about the church, you can understand why Satan wants to destroy every marriage, because he wants to destroy the church.
Yes.
He doesn't want the rest of the world to have a picture, a shadow of anything truthful. And yet, in the Christian marriage, where the husband and wife are in this union that you've been talking about, it lays waste Satan's arguments about, well, the church is nothing.
Right.
Oh, it is something. It's the bride of Christ. He died for it. He rose for it. He's going to come and rescue it one of these days. This is an important deal. And we, as husbands and wives, get to be that picture in the world in Christ.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Yes. And this is about Christian marriages.
Yeah.
This is about a man who is a believer in Christ, a man who has been made new, a man who was once in darkness but who is now light in the Lord, mm-hmm. who is living as a child of light. This is about a woman who was once in darkness, who was once dead spiritually, but has been made alive together with Christ by the very grace of God, and who is living out the works that God has prepared for each of them beforehand.
Yes.
So as husband and wife, the work that God has for you is in loving each other. Well, how a woman loves a man and how a man loves a woman looks a little different.
Mm-hmm.
For a man, he wants respect. For a woman, she wants security. And so how do you bring that about? Well, this is the prescription, Ephesians 5, verses 22, all the way down to verse 33. And again, it's about union. You have been made one in Christ. So it's no longer about the man's desires or the wife's desires. It's about God's desire for the both of you in this union that reflects the very union Christ has with His church.
Yes, indeed. A popular speaker I heard some time ago said that God had given him the perfect Ephesians wife. Said just the other day she came to me on her hands and knees and said, "Come out from under that bed, Charles, and fight like a man." I don't think that's what it refers to. Well, it is Basic Gospel, friends, and we're glad you're with us today for the study through the book of Ephesians. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I am Bob Davis, and with a reminder that we have many resources that will aid your understanding to point you to the love of Jesus Christ. Among them is Bob Christopher's wonderful book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, showing how the Christian life is really supposed to work, and Richard Pfeiffer's exciting bottom-line study called Revelation, It's No Mystery. You can find these excellent works and much more when you visit store.basicgospel.net. Again, that's store.basicgospel.net. But today we're in this great study through Ephesians, and it's a great one, and I hope you're enjoying it and benefiting from it. So, Bob and Richard, let's get right back to it.
Yeah, let's keep going. So the next section in this particular deal on relationships is children and parents. And really, it gets down to children and fathers. We don't have any imperatives for the moms. They just have this natural love for their children. It's just a God-given thing, and it's miraculous to watch how moms take care of their kids. But he starts this particular section with children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's just right for children to obey their parents. Why? Because the parents have a love for their kids. At least they should. And again, this is Christian parents. These are moms and dads who are alive in Jesus. These are moms and dads who have been given the very love of God. The love has been poured into their hearts. These are moms and dads who are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And so they're loving their kids. They're going to set some rules for their kids, not because they just want their kids to be rule abiders or law abiders. They set up rules so out of love for their kids. You tell your kids, don't walk in the street. Why do you do that? Why? Because you know there's danger out there. There's danger in the street. And you don't want your kid to go out there and subject himself to danger, possibly being run over by a car. So you set up rules. You set up boundaries out of your love for them. Not because you want to be a judge, not because you want to condemn them when they mess up or get angry when they mess up, but simply because you love them. So kids in that environment, it's proper for you to obey your parents. And it says, honor your father and mother. This is a commandment. This is one of the Big Ten. And this is the first commandment with a promise. And the promise is that you may go well, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. So this submissiveness that children have for their parents, this obedience to their parents, that's part of them learning their true nature as human beings, that they're created, that they're going to have to live independence, and either they're going to choose things of the world or they're going to choose to live independence upon God, their Heavenly Father, through faith in Jesus Christ. And so as they see this love modeled in their parents, then that dependence can shift from them over to God the Father. That's the goal. That's what all parents want, is for their kids to ultimately to come to know Jesus and to walk in dependence upon Jesus. And so this plan that God has is set up for that to happen. And it's a beautiful thing to see, isn't it?
Yeah. The key here is that, again, this is done by grace through faith because of the indwelling Spirit, the power of the love of God. Parents aren't given the right by God to say, here are the rules, do them. We are given the responsibility to love by grace through faith, and that includes the discipline side of it. And so it's never one an idea of subjugation of your children. It's the idea of bringing them up in the Lord so that they can understand what life is about and move forward into a life of dependence on him as they transfer their dependence from me as dad to Jesus as Lord. And what a job.
Yes. Now,
impossible apart from the Spirit.
Right. What a job, what a privilege that we can invest in the life of children that God has given us.
Yeah.
You know, these are gifts from God. And we must see them in that way. And boy, that gives them dignity. We naturally want to respect them just because they're gifts from God. Mm-hmm. Again, out of reverence for Christ, we're going to be involved in a sacrificial type of love on their behalf. And it's a beautiful thing, all for the purpose of bringing them up to a point where they receive Jesus and can learn to walk by faith in him and experience his life to the full. That's our goal. That's what we're that's what we're aiming for. And boy, it's a 20 plus year process. It's not something that happens overnight. So we love them in different ways based on their ages and all of those sort of things. But it's the same love. It looks a little different, but it's the same exact love motivating all of that all through their stages of growth. Then he gets to the fathers. Do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them. Rather, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, I find it interesting that he picks on dads here, and he needs to, because kids want the approval of their dads. I wanted the approval of my dad. I know my kids, they want the same thing. And we can easily exasperate them. They come in, they've studied hard for a test, they've taken the test, they've gotten the results, and it's a B plus. Well, do you know what most dads will say to that? Well, why wasn't it an A?
Yeah, how hard would that have been?
I know. So what do you do in making that comment? You're exasperating your kids.
Yeah.
You're just frustrating the daylights out of them and making them mad. And I've done that. I think every dad on the planet has done that in some form or another. Mm-hmm. And so God picks on us and he says, you have the capacity to exasperate your kids. You have the capacity, just as your role as a dad, to really make them mad, to provoke your children to anger. So recognize that. And instead, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's your job. And boy, what a privilege that is to be able to instruct them in the things of the Lord. The things like forgiveness, when you've messed up, to be able to go directly to your kid and say, I'm sorry, I've messed up. I really did a bad thing. Will you, as my kid, forgive me for my mess up? So what are you teaching them there? You're teaching them the things of God, the forgiveness of God. You're teaching them about identity, who they, what identity is all about. And you're really helping them take a stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. And it's a powerful, powerful thing. You never want your kid to think that their worth is based on your approval or disapproval of them. Your love is there, no strings attached. Period. End of story.
Yeah.
And you don't reward them for good behavior or punish them. You can't build a good relationship with your kids if everything is reward and punishment. You go be a good kid or
else,
you know, I'll reward you. And then when they're not following the rules, you don't say to them, you're a bad kid. It's just not the way.
What they hear is, you will be my child or you won't be my child.
Right.
Regardless of the words.
That's exactly right. So sometimes you reward them when they don't deserve it. And sometimes you discipline them when they don't deserve that either. Why? It's just part of the instruction of the Lord, all motivated and driven by the love of God.
Yeah.
He's not saying to do this apart from not being filled with the Spirit or not being submissive one to another out of reverence for Christ. These instructions to dads and to children all tie right there. And that ties back to Ephesians 3:16-19, that we're strengthened with power in our inner man's by the very Spirit of God, so that we can know the height and depth and length and breadth, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. And all that ties back to Ephesians 2, where God has made us alive together with Christ, which ties back to Ephesians 1, that says you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing.
Yeah.
All of this ties together. And if we don't tie it together, this isn't going to work.
Yeah. Well, friends, thanks for being with us today for our study session in Ephesians. Didn't we just start this, guys?
Seems
amazing,
like
how time flies, especially when the news is as good as you hear on these Friday editions. Every day, as a matter of fact, on Basic Gospel. Well, we hope you'll be with us every Friday, but if you miss any of the sessions along the way, you can access the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. A quick reminder that as you click donate at basicgospel.net, you'll be helping Basic Gospel to be possible every day as we proclaim the truth of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Please donate today if you can and help Basic Gospel get the word out. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. Keep in mind, too, that listener line is always open for you, and it'll be open all weekend. If you have a question, leave us a voicemail. That number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Or you can drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back again on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.